again.
Ooh, that one got me. I'm out of breath.
I know, I'm winded. What a great way to start the podcast every week. Just us using all of our lung capacity in the first 2 seconds.
We're nothing if not consummate professionals.
And that's what we've always said.
So, jot that down.
We've always said that.
But welcome back to another episode of Honestly.
A horror cast.
With Zoe and Logan.
That was Logan.
And that was Zoe.
Wow.
I got so scared doing that intro.
I know, I was like,
intro.
I'm going to say podcast.
Well, and I said with Zoe and Logan and then immediately got confused. And I was like, do I normally say all of that?
Who are you? Am I Logan?
I don't know why I started panicking. Like, this is so high stakes. Like,
it is.
No, it is. It's the highest of stakes.
You better believe it.
The stakes?
High.
They've never been higher.
High. Sky high.
Great film.
So good. So good.
Just saying.
Same.
What are we getting into on this week's episode?
It's the final film in the franchise.
Oh my god.
Which means it's almost the final episode.
Almost. But not quite.
Not quite. We've got something else in store.
A little surprise for you all, but... The final film in the franchise. We've made it through.
We've gone through all the traps ourselves.
And we've come out the other end. We are survivors.
Eric Matthews couldn't say the same.
Eric Matthews who?
Whomst.
Our heads are not getting smashed by ice cubes.
No, not yet. Not today.
Can't catch us slipping.
They hand. But we're covering Saw X.
Saw X, baby.
2023, hand brackets.
2023.
Recent.
This movie came out the year that we started this podcast.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Started the rebrand of this podcast.
Yeah. This installment.
This installment. That's good. I like that. I like that. The 10th film.
The 10th film in the franchise.
In the good old Saw franchise. And I feel like... We'll get into it, of course, but I feel like we're going out with a bang.
Yes. What a film to end
on. What a film to end on. Like, this one is a certified banger. I'm so excited to talk about it.
And another one will be coming.
Yes.
It's not the end.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. We'll be back in the fall with a bonus Saw episode when the new movie comes out.
Just to say, hey. Did you miss us?
Hey, we're girls. Back. But don't worry, we'll be back before then.
Oh yeah. With something.
We'll get
You'll
into
have
that.
To wait to see.
We'll get into that.
Shall we get into the key players?
Yes.
Of socks.
Socks.
Knock my socks off.
And it really did.
It did. Okay. So, of course, we have John Kramer. He's back. We've missed him. We've missed him as a key player.
We really have.
We really have.
You feel
his absence.
His absence.
You do.
I couldn't think of the word absence. All I could think was presence. And I was like, no, what it's the opposite of that.
You feel his lack of presence.
Yes. That's what I was verging on saying. So thank you for saving me from that.
But he's the jigsaw killer. He's a husband. He's a civil engineer. He's a founder of the Urban Renewal Group. He's a petty king. And he's a self-proclaimed life coach. He said it.
Not
his
us.
Words, and we're not going to argue.
No, I would have to agree, frankly.
Then we have Henry Kessler, who's a member of John's cancer support group. He's such a regular at this coffee shop that he doesn't even have to pay for his blueberry muffin. He just gets it. He's a recipient of epic bad luck. And do you want to know how he got those scars?
She's done it again, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
She's done it again.
Now, for the next couple of people, I've had to break it down into expectation versus reality with these folks. So the next few will have this. First, we have Dr. Cecilia Peterson. It's so hard to see that word and think it's Peterson.
Like, it should that's be not Peterson.
Peterson.
Which is not great.
It's not good. Expectation. She's the head of the Peterson Project, an experimental medical project that claims to cure cancer. Reality, she's a con artist.
Artiste,
honey. Not an artist, an artiste. Then we have Diego. Expectation, taxi driver, exceptional tour guide. Reality, fraud, exceptionally stupid to lie to John Kramer. Bad call, and it will come back to haunt him.
Boy, will it.
Then we have Valentina, Speak, Valentina.
Alive.
Expectation, a nurse for the Peterson Project. Reality, sex worker who's extremely over everything Amanda's bringing to the table right off the drum, just right away. Then we have Mateo. Expectation, anesthesiologist.
Ooh, that's a hard word.
It's hard to say, and I didn't do it.
Anesthesiologist. I didn't do it either.
We're gonna move on.
What was the executor?
Executor.
This is your executor.
And I'll never say it again. I'll never say it again. Reality, he's a low-level vet assistant and kennel technician who sells the drugs he gets from work on the side. Then we have Gabriella. Expectation, housekeeper. Reality, drug addict and breaker of peepaw hearts.
We can't have that.
Some things can't be forgiven.
Mm-mm.
Then we have Parker Sears.
What a name.
That's a crazy name. That's two last names.
Parker Sears. Oh, there's something about that. I love it. I love it so much. Sad. It makes me sad.
I'm giving the sad face again.
Parker, like that's like a soap opera name.
It has that. Parker Sears.
Or like a CW teen drama.
Very
like
bad.
Bad boy Parker Sears.
Cause can't keep a secret if one of them is dead.
There's gonna be a lot of dead people in this.
Expectation is he's one of Cecilia's patients being treated for stage 4 thyroid cancer. Reality, he's Cecilia's partner in crime and also in life, it would appear. Then we have Carlos, who's a child that John befriends while at the hospital. He's a warrior and perhaps an apprentice in training?
Ooh, that would be so good.
Question mark?
That would be so good.
Are they building up to that?
They should.
That could be fun.
I would like
that
to see it.
The youngest apprentice yet, perhaps?
Nobody's doing it like Carlos.
Then we have Amanda Young. Speaking of people we've missed, she's back again. She's still Daddy Jigsaw's best girl, even though she's been demoted to associate by John. Rude. She's the queen of our hearts, and she's full of scathing one-liners in this one. She brought the sass.
She brought the sass, and she brought her fuck-ass hair.
Her Mon Chi Chi bob is back and better than ever.
We are so grateful for that.
I especially love that whenever she moves her head, it too moves with her at the back. The wig is not sticking down.
It's not laid.
And God bless. And then finally, and maybe most importantly of all, we have Detective Lieutenant Mark Hoffman.
Daddy Hoffman
back
is
in the building. And as you know, he's a homicide detective working for the Metropolitan Police Department, not the South Metropolitan.
There's a difference.
Don't bring them up here. He's an apprentice, and Jigsaw called him, beeped him when he wanted to reach him. And here he is, just for us.
Oh my god.
Just for us.
Truly an all-star cast of players.
I've missed so many of them.
It was good to see some familiar faces.
Yes, finally, after two films of people. I don't know him!
I don't know him! I don't care about him. But
no.
These people,
I love and care about.
Shall we get into the plot?
We shall.
All right, so alternate title for this film is Saw X, Return of the Petty King.
Love that.
When Zoe and I were watching this the other week to prepare for the episode, I was like, wait, what's the one Lord of the Rings movie? I was like, is it Return of the King? She's like, yes. I was like, great. I can write down.
And then I was
down.
Like, and the first one is this, and the second one, you're like, no.
I was like, no, I don't care.
No. I asked one question.
I was like, I need to write my silly little joke.
And it was worth it.
It paid off for sure.
I think so.
For sure. So in between the events of the first two films, we're going back in time, baby.
Yeah.
John learns from his doctor that he only has months to live due to advanced brain cancer. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that'll do it. Before leaving the hospital, John spots a custodian trying to steal a patient's belongings.
Uh-oh,
you don't want me doing that in John's presence.
No.
Mm-mm. Later, the custodian wakes up to find himself restrained to a chair with tubes attached to each one of his eye sockets.
That's not where you want to be.
You don't want to find yourself in the eye vacuum trap.
That's a bad name. Bad things will come from that.
I think it sounds like what it is.
Anything with eyes, also horrible to see.
Big no-no.
But this is the eye vacuum trap. The victim wakes up in a room and finds that they are strapped to a chair by the neck, wrists, and lower torso by iron restraints. Additionally, a mask is fitted tightly around the subject's eyes. This mask consists of tubes and is connected to a heavily modified vacuum cleaner. I wrote down that it was the evil Teletubby vacuum, which I do just think is evil. He freaked me out.
He has a sinister energy.
He does, and I just didn't like it.
He can't be trusted.
But this modified vacuum cleaner has a clear panel so you can see what's going on inside. Yeah. Well, maybe he can't see what's going on inside if it continues. But
we can.
One could. The victim's right hand is connected to a pulley system with 5 wires attached to each finger by mini shackles. How cute.
Mini shackles.
In front of the subject's left hand is a dial with the numbers 1 through 5, each indicating a different wire. Each position of the dial remains fixed until the corresponding wire is fully engaged. When the game begins, the vacuum's generator starts running and slightly increases in power with each turn of the dial. However, after 60 seconds, the vacuum quickly accelerates to a high enough speed to suck out the subject's eyeballs. Suck them out.
Mm-mm.
In order to stop the machine and survive the trap, the subject would have to turn the dial across all 5 settings to break each finger, which would stop the vacuum and allow the victim to free themselves. However, much like the pain train, is this real? Question mark.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? And of course, it wouldn't be a saw trap without a cute little message.
Mm.
I'd like to play a game.
Yeah, you would.
Perhaps one that addresses those sticky fingers of yours. I've had my eyes on you. Right away, first sentence. Both things. Fingers. Eyes.
Incredible.
Check. And I don't like what I see. Your job as a custodian is a noble one. Sanitizing and sterilizing the hospital. Helping patients avoid sickness. But there's a sickness inside of you that needs to be excised. You have the ability to not only save your soul today, but your sight. All you have to do is click the dial across 5 positions, and you will live to see another day. You have 60 seconds. Not 30. 60.
60 seconds. Who will save your soul? Yeah, so in reality, that didn't happen.
No.
John was just daydreaming.
He was just joking around.
Which I think was cute. After noticing John's presence, the custodian immediately returns the things and leaves the room with John telling him that he made a good choice.
Yeah. It's like, good choice. And the custodian doesn't have any idea just how good of a choice he did make.
He'll never know.
Like, boy. Boy, boy, boy.
So, John attends a cancer support group meeting where he meets Henry, who claims to have terminal pancreatic cancer, but vows to keep fighting until the end. Very noble of him.
Mm-hmm.
4 months later, John is sitting at a coffee shop, or coffees, as I wrote in my note. It sells coffees, plural.
Coffee shop.
About to sign his last will and testament when he runs into a seemingly much healthier Henry, who claims to have been cured by an experimental cancer treatment given by Norwegian doctor, Dr. Finn Peterson. After doing some research, John finds the website of Peterson's daughter, Dr. Cecilia Peterson.
We know her.
We know her, we hate her. who is continuing her father's work and claims that corrupt pharmaceutical companies, damn big pharma.
and we've always said
we've
that.
We've literally
big
always
pharma,
said that.
Big shotgun.
Goes all the way to the
it
top.
Goes all the way. All the way up, baby.
Big Pharma have been going after her father, forcing her to perform further clinical trials of the treatment off the grid. John gets in touch with Cecilia, who refers him to her makeshift clinic in Mexico City for a surgery in 2 weeks' time. John travels to Mexico City, where he is greeted by taxi driver Diego.
We also know him. Also, we have to note that earlier, movie very blue.
Ooh.
Mexico, movie very yellow.
And that's how you know you were in Mexico.
And that's how you know.
Because it's yellow. En route to the clinic, the two are confronted by a group of masked gunmen. But upon recognizing John, they escort him into their van and drive him to the clinic, which is located in a, you guessed it, abandoned chemical plant.
Hell yeah.
Just outside the city boundaries.
We're back.
We're back.
We're
never been so back. Ooh, we're in an abandoned building.
You got John here, Amanda's here, Hoffman's
here,
and there's abandoned buildings. God.
Mama, that's a Saw movie.
Very blue, very yellow. Very colors. Wow, we're back.
Roy G. Biv, baby. John is introduced to Gabriella, who claims to have been cured by Cecilia's treatment, as well as Cecilia and the rest of her medical team. We have nurse Valentina, anesthesiologist Mateo, and surgeon Dr. Cortez. As Cecilia takes John to the operating room, he encounters Carlos playing with a soccer ball outside the facility.
I do have a question. Absolutely. Why was he there?
Why was Carlos there?
Yeah, that's never explained, is it?
No.
Okay. Okay. I thought at first, like, perhaps a parent is seeking the same treatment. But then as the story progresses, you know, that couldn't be it.
That's a very valid question.
Why was he there? Why was he there?
Well, because they needed somebody.
They needed a small boy.
They needed a child.
And that's fine. Good
and,
for them.
And we got Carlos. So the happy next, to have him. Happy to have him. We love Carlos. The next day, John undergoes his surgery, and after the operation, Cecilia assures him that the surgery was successful and congratulates him on being cancer-free, believing that he has been cured, because why would he not believe that if he has a doctor telling him?
Yeah.
John develops a new lease on life and decides that he can retire.
Yeah.
From his shenanigans, his jigsawing. Yeah.
You see him drawing, like, the rack, and then he's like, no, and crumples it, throws it away.
Tosses it into the wind.
He's like, we don't need you. And then...
I've turned over a new leaf.
We'll see you later, the rack.
Before leaving Mexico, John helps Carlos fix his bike. And in turn, Carlos teaches John the Spanish word for pull.
Helpful.
Which will no doubt come in handy later. John then goes to purchase a bottle of tequila as a gift for Gabriella. But when he returns to the facility to give it to her, he finds it empty. The operating theater abandoned and in a state of disarray. As John takes the bandage off of his head, he realizes that the surgery never actually took place, his brain tumor was never removed, and the experimental treatment was an elaborate scam.
I wrote in my notes that John realizing everything is fake montage goes hard.
It like, goes too hard.
So much, like, oh. The camera's shaking, Peepaw's sad.
Oh,
the
God.
The first half of this movie, not half, it's like a quarter of the movie.
The first half hour.
Is devastating to watch.
It's devastating to watch, and I will say the timing of when we watched
bad. And you know what? When we laid out the season, I said, that's not good. But I didn't say anything because I was like, it's not my place. But... yes, not good timing.
Not good timing if you're a Logan whose father died of cancer.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, oh, the day after? That's good. That will be good for the final installment of this film.
No. And to specify, he didn't die of cancer the day after we watched, the day before we watched this movie. God, he died 5 years ago, but when we watched the movie to prep for the episode, it was just after the 5-year anniversary. So, funny timing. But, the first half hour of this movie is...
emotionally devastating.
God, they
like,
just...
don't hurt our personal grandfather like that.
No, like, that is literally our grandfather.
That's Peepaw. And we've said it 1,000 times. That's
torture Peepaw.
Do not do such a thing to him.
It's just like gut punch after gut
punch.
And
he's so, like, happy.
Oh,
God. And then he's crushed. But the editing of him realizing it slaps. It's like... it's classic Saw editing.
I said at some point in my notes, maybe, I said excellent special effects, but I meant to also say that, like, the editing,
top notch. The transitions. Top notch.
This movie gives us everything we were lacking in the previous couple. After figuring out that Dr. Cortez was Diego in disguise, John abducts him. Likely thing for him to do.
Classic.
Diego wakes up back in the facility with John watching over him as his test begins.
And not a place you want to be in, waking up with John watching over you.
No.
Like, uh-oh, I've done something wrong. And this is the pipe bomb trap,
which is
very aptly named. So the victim has a single pipe bomb attached to each forearm. The pipe bombs are attached by hook-like galvanized cables that pierce the skin, and if not removed, will detonate, blowing the victim's arms off. Additionally, The victim has scalpels attached to their hands with duct tape. In order to survive the trap, the victim has to use the scalpels to cut through their forearms and tear out the devices, all before it blows up.
Of course.
Of course, both of them.
Duh.
So he says, "Hello, Diego. Or should I call you Dr. Cortez? I'd like to play a game. Attached to your arms are two explosive devices, pipe bombs. Think of the explosives as a sort of cancer, a malignancy that must be cut out for you to survive. The blades cannot cut through the galvanized cable, but they can slice through flesh and muscle, allowing you to cut the cancer away. Live or die, the choice is yours."
It always is, isn't it?
It always is.
So Diego survives his test. He's able to cut the pipe bombs out of his arms.
That's good for him.
And he gives up the information about the rest of the con artists and artistes.
Yes.
Afterwards, John calls a detective to help locate the other scammers.
And this is where, in the theater, I started punching Logan.
Yeah, because we knew what was coming.
We knew. Where he said, "Hello, detective." And I was like, "Yes! We know!"
And boy, did we. Meanwhile, while closing up his veterinarian's office, Mateo sells drugs to a desperate Gabriella before he is abducted moments afterward by an assailant in a pig mask.
Oh, again, likely thing to be in a Saw movie.
God, we've missed them. The same assailant kidnaps Valentina while she is being assaulted by a stranger in his car. So, like, on one hand, it's like, girl power, thank you for saving this woman from being assaulted, but on the other hand...
Yeah. It's saved from something bad to be thrown into something arguably worse.
Potentially worse, you know? So, a real Sophie's choice. Before going on to kidnap Gabriella from a nightclub bathroom, which there was a spiral on the wall in the bathroom.
Yes, that was a good catch.
I spotted that with my eagle eyes. The pig mask figure, who we don't know who it is yet, abducts Cecilia from her home as she tries to escape in her car. The kidnapper removes their mask moments before Cecilia,
"You're breaking my heart, you're taking my confidence daily."
Moments before Cecilia is abducted, revealing themselves to be Amanda.
Amanda show. You know?
Sad.
Really.
Dark.
Bad, horrible.
Let's get back into this because this is much less dark.
Yeah. Somehow. Yes.
So, Valentina, Cecilia, Mateo, and Gabriella wake up in the abandoned plant. John appears to the group to confront them for lying to him about the operation, as well as for robbing numerous other dying victims.
Great.
And then Valentina is the first to be tested.
She's tested. This is the beginning of what they've referred to. You know how everyone has like a so-and-so's trial and like this and that and the other thing? This is what's referred to as the cons game. I was like, come on. But the first of the cons game is the bone marrow trap / the wire saw trap, I also saw referred to. So... both get very to the point.
They let you know what they're about.
So, the victim is restrained in a seated position on a piece of the abandoned factory's machinery. A rope tied around their neck secures them in place. Inches from the victim's neck is a wire saw that appears to be attached to a sliding contraption. Mm. So many contraptions.
They love a contraption.
The victim is provided a box that contains a Geely saw and a tourniquet. Amanda starts the trap manually once the victim is given instructions to open the box. The saw is connected to a metal pin that will activate a 3-minute timer once removed from the box. Beside the victim is a suction machine attached to a gauge and scale. In order to survive, the victim must cut off their leg using the Geely saw. Marker lines drawn on their leg indicate where they must cut.
Very nice.
Once the leg is cut off, they must use the suction device to extract 3 ounces of bone marrow and transfer it onto the scale. Once enough marrow is collected, the victim is set free. If the victim does not transfer enough bone marrow in time, the saw will move on its slider and proceed to decapitate them.
Yeah.
So they really said the eye trap wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. Prepare to see the worst thing you've ever seen.
It is fucking gnarly.
It's gnarly. And this one doesn't have a tape, but it does have John and Amanda, like, tag teaming some fun lines.
Yeah.
So I've shortened and condensed. But John says, the key to your freedom is inside that box. The wire saw inside of that box was invented by an Italian physician, Leonardo Gigli. It creates an extraordinary clean cut to the bone. If you don't, the wire saw that's wrapped around your neck will first cut into your skin, then your vertebral ligaments, and finally, it'll sever your spinal cord.
No.
And then Amanda says, in Cole's notes version, is that what she says?
Yeah.
It'll cut your head off. Valentina, follow my instructions if you want to live. There are more than 5 pounds of marrow in the human body. First
that's
of all,
so
a horrible
much.
Fact to know.
That's so much
that's
marrow.
That's too much. Get it out. Don't want it in there. That's too much.
You know, this is an aside, but like, how much do all of the things inside of our body weigh?
Right?
Like 5 pounds of marrow?
Yeah.
Just 5 pounds of marrow. How much do all of our bones weigh? How much do our organs weigh?
I just feel like 5 pounds is too much for that.
I think it's far too much.
It feels like when you learn, I said this when we were watching it, but like when you learn about like things on you or like in your body,
yes.
And then you're suddenly like so aware.
Like,
I like
feel
my
marrow.
Like I can feel the marrow in my bones. But there's 5 pounds of it in the human body. All you need is 3 ounces. There's more than enough in your femur. Just suction it out. It'll be transferred to that device right there and it will deactivate the saw around your neck. Don't hesitate because your time is prescribed. Refusing to play the game is not an option. If you refuse to play, you will remain in this room forever. And then Amanda says, you'll make it, so long as you keep your head.
Yeah, girl.
Love her.
Yeah, girl.
This is like one of my favorite interactions in this whole movie, just her and Valentina, because it's like right away.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna kill all of you. She's like, that's a really good idea. Yeah. You're gonna wanna listen to make sure you can make that come to fruition.
No, Amanda's like at her cuntiest
in
this movie,
she's
I would say.
She's serving and slaying in her Monchichi wig.
Oh my god. She is Monchichi in the house down boots. So while Valentina succeeds in cutting off her leg, she fails to extract the bone marrow in time and is subsequently decapitated by the wire.
This is where I think the special effects came in.
Yes.
Because it really looked like she was cutting off her leg. The way it was like stretching and the leg was like jiggling.
When it thumps, when it hits the
so
ground.
It's so real and it's like practical, which
yes.
is great.
Excellent.
We love.
Yeah, the practical effects, if one thing Saw is going to do, it's have bomb practical effects.
And thank God.
Thank God for that. So then Cecilia's phone, which is located on a trolley that was conveniently left right around all these people.
And they never think about that. They never go, now why was this there?
Yeah, they don't, like, John doesn't make mistakes.
No,
so
remember that.
Fucking remember that. Phone starts ringing, but it's out of reach, so naturally, Cecilia disembowels Valentina's corpse.
Yeah, she did that way too soon.
Like, I don't know how your brain gets there that quickly.
It reminds me of all those, like, tweets and TikToks people make about, like, how soon into, like, being stranded would you, like, turn to eat each other?
Yeah.
And some people are like, I would do it way too soon. Like, I'd be like, we're here for 15 minutes, like, I'm not even hungry yet, but let's eat her. It felt like that, where it's like, I feel like I would have to go through a lot of, like, let's try this, let's try this, before I was like, well, we could always cut her stomach open and use her intestines, I guess. Like, I don't think that would come to me first.
No.
I don't think that would come to me at all, but certainly not the first option, but Cecilia's built different, and good for her.
She's built different, so yeah, she disembowels Valentina's corpse and uses her intestines as a rope.
Mm-hmm.
To pull the trolley close enough to reach her phone.
Right.
And then she's able to
You gotta get that phone. Always on that damn phone.
Always on that damn phone. What are you, a little girl? Don't be watching Twilight.
Bring him back to put in a trap.
No. Don't put Chris Rock in a trap.
No one puts Chris Rock in a trap.
Let him write another Saw movie. So she gets her phone, she calls someone, revealing that she's been kidnapped, but then she's interrupted when Amanda gives her an electric shock.
Yeah. Zap.
She zapped her.
She just comes in like... God.
It's so good.
I love her.
Oh, fantastic. So then Parker, who John had met prior to his surgery, returns to the compound armed with a gun and demanding his money back after realizing that his operation was a scam. As he navigates through the building, he is found by John and Amanda and is then chained up to a chair and made to watch the tests unfold. Yeah. And Mateo is the next to be tested, unfortunately.
He's next, and this is another one that it's all in the name, and the name is horrible, and it's the brain surgery trap.
What could this possibly entail?
What would happen in this? The trap finds the victim strapped to a wheelchair and restrained by a collar around their neck. The key to remove themselves from the trap is locked in a container on the table in front of the victim. Additionally, an electrical collar and band is secured around their head, which would administer shocks if required by Jigsaw. A contraption that looks like an open mask is also positioned around the subject's face, which is internally wrapped with heating coils and would slam shut and kill the victim if the task is not completed within the 3-minute timer. In order to survive, the victim must obtain cerebral tissue from their brain and place it in the pneumatic trough on the table that contains acid. To do so, they are given tools such as bone cutter, forceps, and who brings it out? Billy.
Yes!
He wheels it out.
Amanda brought him to Mexico City in her carry-on.
So bone cutter, forceps, and a camera placed above the victim to allow them to see their head through a monitor during the procedure. Once enough gray matter is placed in the trough, it will dissolve to release the key and allow the victim to free themselves. And it says, "Hello, Mateo. It's time to play a game. The rules are simple. Place a big enough piece of your cerebral tissue into the glass enzyme tank, and you win. If you complete your task in less than 3 minutes, the enzymes will dissolve the tissue and close the circuit."
I mean, to be fair, the instructions, the rules are simple.
They are. They are. It's not a simple thing to ask a person.
No, but the rules.
But the rules themselves.
Like, do this simple. Or you die.
Yeah,
that simple. Is very simple. You simple. Didn't lie.
He just fails to, you know, take into account that cutting out a piece of your brain might be hard for someone.
For some.
"This will save your life, but know this, the brain is a remarkably resilient organ. There have been accounts of people undergoing complete anatomical hemispherectomies, their brain removed, only to have it rewire itself so that the patient not only survives, but thrives." Hey, John, quick cue, love you, love your work. Have you taken into consideration that the people that have done this are doctors? And not Mateo. Just posing that question really quickly. Don't want to interrupt you too much. But just a cue for you.
Quick cue for you.
"The only thing I have not provided you is anesthetic. But trust me, you'll want to remain alert."
The only thing I haven't provided you is anesthetic. Or like the proper
years
training.
Of medical training. Yeah. "If you fail to act, the consequences will not go well for you. Do not waste time. Live or die. The choice is yours." Do whatever.
Just like, whatever.
Just like cut your brain out.
Cut your brain out or don't. Like, I don't really care.
See if I care. Honestly, you would. You would.
You fucking would. Mateo.
God.
So Mateo does remove a piece of brain matter successfully.
Yeah.
However, it is not dissolved by the enzyme in time to release him, resulting in his death when the mask with the heated coils closes around his face and burns it.
Just... It's very like the death mask.
Yes.
Very like that.
I know, I had the same thought.
Look at us. Look at us.
It was a callback to previous work.
It was.
Or a call forward to previous work.
Time play. Cineplex.
Bring it back, baby. I miss it. John then orders Amanda to free Parker to observe him before they start Gabriella's game.
Mm-hmm. Hers is the radiation trap. So the victim is suspended in the air by their left wrist and right ankle. In front of the victim is a medical linear accelerator, LINAC machine, which they use in radiation treatments. This machine will expose the victim to direct radiation. The machine starts off at a normal level, but quickly increases and begins to burn them. In order to survive, the victim must retrieve a sledgehammer, which is also suspended close to them, and use it to break their bones. This will swing them out of the beam of the radiation. However, the machine is on a track and will move positions to be in front of them again. They must continue to break their chained limbs and ultimately drop them to the ground. If the victim doesn't break their bones, they will be burned to death by the machine.
Mm, no thank you.
No, no.
So Gabriella manages to free herself from the shackles, falling to the ground, heavily injured but still yes. alive.
Super burned.
Burnt to a crisp. Clinging
to life.
Clinging to life.
Like, truly, they might as well have killed her in that moment. Like,
she was a little crispy from the radiation. She was well done. John orders Amanda to take Gabriella to the hospital because he cares.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
But before she can, Parker holds the two of them at gunpoint and demands them to free Cecilia. Parker, whoa. Parker Sears, whoa. What are you up to? As they unchain Cecilia, she shares a kiss with Parker before revealing that he was in on the scam from the beginning and that he was the one she had called on her phone. Cecilia then kills Gabriella by snapping her neck, which leaves Amanda distraught, to say yeah. the least. Cecilia and Parker force John into one of his own traps at gunpoint, chaining him up in the same place Cecilia was. Before she can do the same with Amanda, she hears Carlos playing outside with a soccer ball. Cecilia takes Carlos inside, chains him up opposite John, and, because she wants John to witness someone completely innocent meet their death in one of his traps.
Yeah.
All while John pleads with them to stop what they're doing.
This, I wrote down this part, like, they're having their argument back and forth, and she says to him, do the scary voice, and I was like, she kind of ate him up.
No, she did. She's
like, do the scary voice, because he's trying to be like, what are you doing? This is like, do the scary voice. Come on, John, do the scary voice.
No, she got him.
But they're forced into the bloodboarding trap, which is also exactly what it sounds like. So the victims this time are John and Carlos. Wow. John is now the victim of his own trap. This trap consists of an elevated floor with two chained collars and levers on opposing sides. The chains are both connected to a rectangular metal grate and were long enough to give leeway to victims for limited mobility. After both of the levers are pulled, the trap activates. The chains are then pulled back by a mechanical winch inside of the elevated floor, forcing both subjects into supine positions on top of the elevated floor.
Supine. Excellent word.
The rectangular metal grate elevates from the ground, revealing itself as a table that also functions like a seesaw.
Peepaw on the seesaw!
Get peepaw off the seesaw!
Get that damn peepaw off that damn seesaw!
Once secured, two faucets aimed at their respective victim would be lowered down and begin to release a stream of blood. Another quick cue for you. Where'd you get that blood from? Whose blood? From where? Designed as a competition game, both victims would continue to have blood pour onto their faces in a process akin to waterboarding, unless one pulls or pushes their respective lever. The levers and table function similarly to a scale. The way either side of the table is elevated or lowered is based on how strong the grip of the lever is. If a victim is able to lift their side of the table, their hose would deactivate. The trap, as a failsafe, would deactivate entirely, but we'll get into that.
So, in the meantime, Parker and Cecilia run to the room in which John and Amanda were controlling the games earlier in order to run away with the bags of money they had acquired from the scam. However, upon taking the bag of money, it activates a tripwire that stops the bloodboarding trap, and Amanda frees Carlos and John and John watches from below as Parker and Cecilia find themselves trapped inside the control room in a test of their own.
This was a part in the movie where it's like, we've watched all of these Saw movies mm-hmm. multiple times at this point. Mm-hmm. We know a twist is coming.
But boy.
But God, was it good.
Ooh.
God, was it good.
It was great.
You hear the faint music. You know what's coming.
Mm.
Also, we have to mention that he refers to, like, Cecilia's scam earlier on as a larcenist dance. And I just feel like we have to know that.
Oh my god.
Before moving on any further.
Yeah.
But he catches them in their larcenist dance. And this is the gas chamber trap. So this trap takes place inside of a massive observation room. The victims enter believing they're going to take their money and go. However, the bags of money are connected to a trigger system, which once activated, lock the doors of the observation rooms, yeah. begin an alarm and a 10-minute timer, and begin the release of a highly toxic gas.
Oh my god.
If there's one thing John loves, it's his highly toxic gases.
He loves a gas.
Additionally, inside of the observation room is a hole that only one person can fit through. The hole allows someone to stick their head through and breathe out of the room. The two locked inside will have to fight for the hole. They're fighting over a hole on Main. Whoever loses will be burned to death by the poisonous gas. And of course, this one does have a message.
Of course.
Cecilia Peterson, Parker Sears, you've been working a grift, playing a role, working together, continuing to play out your scam, never realizing that you have been the marks all night long.
Oof.
You were given a chance for redemption, but at every turn, you chose death instead of life. You have played your last con, but not your last game. The two of you have worked together to destroy others. Now you'll work against each other. Only one can survive, and the choice is yours.
So, ultimately, Cecilia stabs Parker to death.
Oh, yeah. Pretty gnarly.
In order to fit her head through the hole. And
she won hole.
She won hole. And escape the effects of the gas. Yeah, she turns on him pretty quick.
Oh. There's also, we noticed this time watching it, that John says to Cecilia, nope, other way. John says to Parker, reverse it. John says to Parker that she's gonna burn you.
She's
you just don't know
you.
It yet. And then later, dun-dun.
Look what happens. Look at that. So the timer runs out and the gas stops coming, but Cecilia is left trapped in the room as John, Carlos, and Amanda exit the building.
Yeah.
The movie ending as they walk out into the sunset together.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. Stunning.
Beautiful.
But even more stunning is the mid-credits scene, in which we find ourselves back in the dilapidated bathroom from the first film.
And it's very blue again.
Very blue. And we're there with a surprise appearance from the number one guy in the group, Mark Hoffman.
He is the number one guy in the group.
John and Hoffman have placed Henry, remember him from the beginning of the film, in a trap intended to disembowel him.
With the name Disembowelment Trap.
Or the Scar Tissue Trap.
There's multiple names
these. Multiple names. Oh, that's so funny.
But the victim is hung from the ceiling by chains shackled around their wrists, attached to their stomach with a leather harness, welcome back, Hoffman, is a device designed to slash the lower abdomen open with 5 sharp blades on a large mechanical box. The blades would move in a clawing motion and slowly dig into the stomach, disemboweling the test subject. No instructions are given on screen on how to survive the trap, so it's unknown how one could free themselves. It's
open to interpretation. As Henry,
epic bad luck.
As Henry pleads to John for his life out of mercy, Hoffman activates the trap as Henry helplessly screams in horror. And that's epic bad luck, baby.
Epic bad luck.
And that's Saw X.
I just don't think they could have ended it better.
No.
Then to just pull out Hoffman. They said, he's here. Guess who's back?
Guess who's back in the house?
And going, epic bad luck. Of all the men you could join,
you pick John Kramer?
Epic bad luck.
Epic bad luck.
Do you think he made that up himself?
Yes, I said that. I think he ad-libbed.
He did. It was all him.
They said action, and he said bet. That's epic bad luck.
Epic bad luck.
And then it has like a sick transition again.
Yes.
Into further credits. And it ends with a title card.
Yes.
Which is unusual.
What's up with that?
Are you ready to bingo?
I am.
Bingo, bango, bongo?
Even.
We were very close to a bingo this time.
We were.
The last two, hard. Hard yeah. for our bingo game. But we were not far off.
Mm-hmm.
Two in either row we could have had on our card.
Yes. Maybe on your card you got a bingo.
That's true. Let us know.
Let us know. And wait, actually, I don't think we've ever said this. Where do people get their bingo cards?
Instagram, we have all the different ones, but we'll put a post separate.
Yeah.
So we'll find them.
You can play along.
Yeah. Check off the free space. That goes without saying.
Obviously.
Then we have character made to feel crazy / gaslit about the situation. And that would be John's deal.
Right. He's gaslit into thinking he's been cured of his cancer.
And that's horrible.
That's the ultimate gaslighting.
Then we have cheesy one-liner / pun said before a kill.
Boy, do we.
First of all the tapes have heavy-handed.
Yes.
But then also, Amanda just being like, as long as you don't lose your head. Like, slay.
She's so mother.
Then we have ending leaves room for a sequel because, hey Hoff, he's back.
He's back.
Amanda, Carlos, John, they left.
One big happy family.
Like, that could be something.
Just saying.
Then we have suddenly rooting for the baddie.
I mean, we were never not rooting for John, but in case y'all forgot...
more than ever. Then character goes to investigate mysterious noise. That's just
Cecilia goes to investigate
a noise in her house. Parker going into the building. There's a lot of Carlos being there. A lot of Carlos noises
being there.
Then we have gag-worthy plot twist finally.
Boy, is it gaggy.
It's gaggy. Gaggy. And boy, is it ever. No bingo for us.
No bingo for us, but maybe a bingo for you.
I'm closer than before.
Yeah.
And that's something.
We did come pretty close this season.
Yeah.
Like, there were a few. Yeah.
I think, we were talking about before, future seasons yet to come.
Yeah.
We're going to be on a roll for these.
It's going to be nothing but bingos, baby.
Fun facts. Goofs. Shall I fun fact you?
Sorry, just opened my phone. Goofs, gaffes, and fun facts. Yeah, hit me with some fun facts.
There's a lot for this one.
There are.
So strap in, perhaps with a leather harness, courtesy of Hoffman. So, in the eye vacuum trap, John took inspiration for the trap's design from the custodian's vacuum cleaner and the medical finger splint the unconscious patient was wearing when the custodian attempted to steal from him. So that's kind of fun.
Yes, that is fun.
It's kind of fun. In the original script, there was an alternate trap to the eye vacuum that involved an MRI. However, Lionsgate found it too intense even for the Saw franchise, which led them to revamp to the eye vacuum. Can we now imagine what that could have possibly been?
I want to see the MRI trap.
Like, the leg, the bone marrow thing was, fine. The eye was fine. So what was this?
Right? Like,
what was this?
What were they doing with the MRI machine?
While editing the eye vacuum scene, editor Steve Forner received a visit from LAPD after his neighbors reported screaming coming from his apartment office. The brain surgery trap is said to be influenced by an unused trap from Saw 2, where Addison was supposed to have her face melted by a trap that involved a waffle maker.
Oh.
And then the closing mechanism is also inspired by the death mask trap, also from Saw 2.
We literally said that.
We said it. The bloodboarding trap is a rare occurrence for the franchise. Has several rare occurrences. One, the creator of the trap is unwillingly a victim. Mm-hmm. Rare, not uncommon, because Hoffman was in his...
That's true.
...his trap. Two, an innocent person is forced to become a victim. Not, I mean, by John's standards, perhaps. And there are several ways to solve the trap, including a failsafe.
Yeah.
So that's the rare occurrences for that one. Uh-huh. The bloodboarding trap is also the second time in a franchise that a waterboarding process was used. The first being the hot wax trap from Spiral.
Right.
From the Book of Saw. However, chronologically, this one comes first.
Absolutely.
This is the first film in the franchise to not feature police investigating a murder.
This movie said ACAB.
Finally, they've said it. In the film, John uses the email address kramerjohn994@gmail.com to send an email to Cecilia. This email address works. Viewers can send emails to this address. They will receive a reply stating that John is away, but he'll reply when he's available.
His out-of-office message says, "Hello, thank you for reaching out. I will be traveling out of the country for the next few days, so I may be slow to respond to any messages. Best, John Kramer."
God, that's good.
And I know that because I emailed the address.
Oh, it's so good. This is the first film in the series since Saw, 2004, which was shot in LA, to not be filmed in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But it's instead shot entirely in Mexico. This is also the first film to ever specify where it yes! takes place, which is Mexico City.
Yep.
Then, despite having worked in the horror genre prior to her involvement in this film, the actress who plays Cecilia reportedly suffered from nightmares after reading the script. She underwent several sleep studies and considered dropping out of the project after costs from her treatment skyrocketed.
Oh, no.
However, after meeting with Tobin Bell and feeling inspired by his dedication and method acting techniques to become Jigsaw, she decided to stay with the film.
What kind of method acting is he doing?
And then the final fun fact is that John refers to Carlos as a warrior, which is sweet, but also extra sweet because Gideon, the name of John's unborn son, means mighty warrior.
Stop it.
Isn't that sweet?
Stop it right now.
Sweet peepaw.
Stop it.
Stop.
Okay, I have an additional fun fact that I thought was going to be on your list, but it wasn't. Some of the previous Saw films, so Saw, the original, Saw 2, Saw 3D, The Final Chapter, Jigsaw, and Spiral, all end with a door getting closed, whereas Saw X ends with a door opening.
Okay. Love that.
I think it's very beautiful.
It is.
So, lots of fun facts
lots
for this one.
Lots of fun
I
facts
that.
For this one. A lot of trap-specific fun facts for this one.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I like it a lot. Not a lot of goofs and gaffes, really, because I think this was an expertly crafted film. But I did find a few. So first being, Cecilia cuts out the intestines of Valentina, but intestines aren't loose in the body. There's like a lot of connecting tissue.
I was wondering about that.
So that maybe wasn't as accurate as it could have been for her little rope maneuver.
Her little lasso.
Yeah. There would have been some more hurdles for her to get through.
A little bit more pushback from the organ.
But she just like pulled them all out.
She said, "I'll be taking this."
Okay, I guess you will. When John is shown buying a bottle of tequila, the store has signage referencing apps like Amazon and a delivery service. Apps like that did not exist in 2001, which is when the film is set.
Yeah.
In the same vein, Cecilia and Amanda are shown using a white BlackBerry Curve 8520, which was released in 2009. The film is supposed to take place in 2001.
Again.
And then, just jumping off of that point, John has a Gmail account, but Gmail didn't exist until 2004.
Oh, so. Guys, it's like the flat screen TVs in Jigsaw.
Oh my
again.
God, the flat screen TVs. What were they doing with those?
What were you thinking?
Who were they trying to fool?
goofs, gaffs. They goofed, they gaffed, but not a lot.
They goofed, they gaffed, they fun facted.
Beautiful. I loved it. Trap survivability.
Ooh.
The moment of truth.
I hate to break it to you. I don't think we're getting out of most of these. I don't think
we're getting out of any of them. You know what? The first one, I vacuum trap. We could do that.
Just break your fingers.
It's not going to be pleasant.
But it's like, a whole hell of a lot more pleasant than getting your eyeballs exactly. sucked
and
out.
Compared to like every other trap ever in this franchise, this seems pretty like tame for Mr. Kramer.
It does.
I think we could survive this one.
No question.
Yes. Pipe bomb.
No.
No. Hey? No.
I don't like when I have to dig out an ingrown hair.
That, and then also, I'm just thinking of like when I was a cashier and like the stress of like having to wring someone out like quickly would make my hand shake. So like I can't imagine that, but like you're gonna blow up.
Yeah.
I just feel like I wouldn't be able to do that.
Also, how the pipe bombs were like in his forearm, right?
Yeah.
But like, isn't there like a, like if you cut I would cut a vein or like an artery and like just bleed out.
It would be over before it even began.
Yeah, so that's a no.
So no. Next one, I can already tell where we're going. Bone marrow trap.
Not a chance in hell. Decapitate me.
Just do it and quickly set it all the way. Don't let it like slide.
Too sweet.
Just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. No. There's no.
So no. Mm-mm. No. And I think even if I could cut off my leg, which I couldn't.
No.
I wouldn't be able to do the suction part.
You want me to stick a tube into my bone?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Get out of here.
Brain surgery trap.
No.
No. Hey, John.
Sorry, no.
No. Nope. No.
That's
couldn't open my head with the bone cutter and take out my brain and put it in acid.
No.
Couldn't even do one part of that. If you handed me something to put in acid, sure. But that's about it. Radiation trap. I think if I wanted to live enough in that moment, that yes, it's doable.
I think when we watched this for the first time, I was like, well, like these are all pretty like unwinnable, but I think I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't want to have to smash my wrist and ankle bones, but
I've broken my wrist and my
foot. Oh my god, you've like already done it.
So I feel like, okay.
Been there, done that. I feel like it beats the alternative of being roasted to death by radiation.
Yeah.
So I think we could do that.
I think that one, so far that and the eye vacuum.
Yeah.
Sorted.
Yeah.
Bloodboarding trap. Actually, you and I think we could do that.
I think we could do it.
As a duo, we'd survive.
But one of us would have to die, no?
Because it's a failsafe.
Oh, that's true.
Once the other trap's activated.
So as long as we could get them to activate the other trap.
Then we'd be fine.
Right, yeah. We could. I feel like we would take turns.
Conditions were perfect.
Yes.
we'd be able to do it.
No, we could. We could, because we have good communication skills.
We do. Gas chamber trap.
No. Well, we wouldn't find ourselves in that situation.
No.
We're not scamming people out of tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars to cure them of their cancers.
Like, we're not horrible.
We're not horrible people.
Disembowelment trap. We don't know.
Hard to say. Hoffman wouldn't put us in that, though.
No, he loves us.
He gets us.
We love him.
That's Daddy Hoff.
Daddy Hoff. With his leather harnesses, back again.
Back again.
That's how you know he's there. It's like, the thing is secured to him. Like, how could anyone possibly secure something to someone?
Hoffman's
duct tape?
Like
John?
Hoffman said, leather?
He said, what would you like? He has a bag full of different harnesses. So, you know, there's a couple there that we could survive.
Yeah, but the ones we're not surviving, we're like not surviving.
Felt and heard.
Okay, Letterboxd review time. As always, shout out to the users of Letterboxd.
We love you. We see you.
We love you. We see you. You keep the lights on over here at Honestly Pod HQ. Also, you can follow us on Letterboxd at Honestly Pod should you desire to do so, which you should.
You should.
So this review is from Jay. They gave the movie 3.5 stars. Bit of a low ball, if you ask me. They said, do not order brain surgery from Sheen.
I remember
remember seeing that one when we saw
it. I know. I had to, like, pull out a couple of the ones that I had seen way back when we first saw it, because they were just so good.
Do not
order brain surgery from Shein. This review is from Gina. They gave the movie 4.5 stars. That's more like it. And they said, Amanda does nothing wrong in this world. She's an angel from the heavens above.
True.
And duh.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves.
Literally, we've always said that.
That's her. That's who she is.
That's Angel. That's Mother. We love.
That's Monchichi.
That's Monchichi. This review is from Susie. They gave the movie 4 stars. They said, thank God they used the yellow filter, or I would have never known this took place in Mexico.
See? Very blue. Mexico, very yellow.
Mexico, very yellow.
Famously very yellow.
I mean, everybody knows. The minute you step foot in Mexico, it's just yellow.
Sky yellow. Ground yellow.
All yellow. As far as the eye can see. Sierra gave the movie 5 stars and said, the impact Amanda Young has on the Saw franchise should be studied. When she showed up on the screen, lives were changed.
They were. People died.
People died.
Positive.
Matt gave the movie 3 stars and said, top 10 John Kramer shady diva moments.
We have Mark Hoffman cringe fail moments. John and now we Kramer. Have shady diva.
Shady diva moments. Mark didn't give the movie a rating, Mark. Just gave it a heart. He loved it. And said, Tobin Bell, congratulations. You are the winner of this week's acting challenge. Because yes, he was acting his damn heart out in this film.
It was felt. It was seen.
We felt it. We saw it. We were moved. Gala said, not enough puppet.
True. Hard fact.
That's just not enough puppet.
Not enough puppet.
And, like,
that's
agreed.
What I see in every movie I see. Not a puppet.
That's true. You famously love...
I love little freaky puppets.
What if they did Saw with the Muppets?
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't need to get a pig mask. Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy.
As Amanda.
Megan gave the movie 4.5 stars and said, girl, I can't even curl the back of my hair without a mirror, let alone cut out pieces of my fucking skull.
Literally.
It's like, yeah, I feel that.
Just, like... high school straightening my hair, the whole back is wavy. You want me to cut my brain out?
Absolutely not. We cannot be trusted to do that. VJ gave the movie 5 stars and said, sometimes a family is a lesbian with a weird haircut, an old dying guy, and an innocent Mexican child, all covered in blood.
Wait, I feel like you have to save that for the meme.
I will. That one's good. And then Audra... said, gave the movie 5 stars and then said, kisses this movie gently on the cheek. I love you, beautiful.
Yeah.
And that...
that concludes
Letterboxd reviews.
They're so good every time. They just really capture what we're feeling.
Yeah, they sum it up in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, sometimes in the words that we cannot find, they find them for us. And that's beautiful.
That's stunning. And
that's beautiful.
That's why film is so important.
And that's why cinema means everything to us.
And we really do come to this place. For magic.
We should be in the AMC commercials.
We should be. Catch us in the next one.
Now it's time for our review.
Woohoo! As a reminder, if this is the first time you're tuning in to one of these episodes, hello, welcome. We rate based on 5 key categories. Yeah. So we have plot, characters, scare factor, acting, and aesthetic.
Beautiful. Beautifully done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's begin.
Let's begin. Plot. Great.
I mean, believability. Like, does the premise make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Twists.
I mean, it's gag-worthy.
It's gag-worthy.
It's like you said, like, this is the 10th movie in this franchise.
Yeah,
like, we've been around the block before. Like, I feel like even though you know something is coming, it's still got us.
And it got us good.
They got us, gal.
They got us, gal. They got us good.
Like, I didn't see it coming.
No. When they grabbed the bag,
mm-hmm.
and the timer flicked on, mm-hmm. and the music started faintly playing. I was like, we're back.
We have never been more back.
That's the overarching theme of this film is we're back.
Oh my God.
It's just we're back.
We're back in a huge way. Like, did the plot have a point? Or the twist have a point? Absolutely.
Because yes. you were like, see, he's still got it.
Right? Because, like, you're thinking, damn, John Kramer got God.
Right, they're like, you're kicking this man while he's down. This and he's like, surprised. I knew this whole time that you would pull this shit. He's like, I stay on top of things. And he does. And he does.
He keeps his foot on those bitches' necks.
He does. And he won't stop.
So, I think in terms of plot, it's a 5 out of 5.
It's a 5. And what a treat. After the last
two, my God.
To have a 5.
There is truly, like, the glow up from Jigsaw and Spiral to Saw X. Never been done before.
Never.
Truly incredible. Moving on to characters. We're talking main characters, background characters, the baddie, everyone involved. So, likability. Are they fully fleshed out? Do they make good decisions?
Yeah.
Are they deserving if they survive?
Yeah. This is great because everybody is horrible in their own way.
Except for Carlos.
Except for Carlos.
Although we actually don't know much about him.
He could be a little bitch.
He could
be in on it. We don't know that he wasn't in on it.
That's because why is he there?
Conspiracy. Just like, I don't know, like, Cecilia's horrible. Ooh. She's fun. Do the scary voice. Perfect for a bad guy.
A bad guy voice to
John's bad guy?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I feel like we obviously have been rooting for John since day one. Mm-hmm. Like, there is not a Saw movie that goes by where we're not rooting for him. But I feel like even if you have somehow made it through this whole franchise and you're like, meh, I'm not really rooting for John. Like, he's doing this to innocent people who don't deserve it. There is no way you're watching Saw X and not rooting for John. Because right. Cecilia, ooh, horrible. She is the baddest of the bad.
She does not feel bad about anything.
She doesn't.
Like, every other person that's, like, done a bad thing that once, like, John has put them in a trap, they're like, oh my God.
You see them be remorseful.
Like, what have I done? You're right.
Yeah.
She's like, do the scary voice. I'm not going to listen to you. Like,
she's like, yeah, I did it. And I'll do it again.
And she was going to. She went to take her money and go. But surprise, it was a trap.
Bitch. You got.
And characters, we have all of our faves back. We have Amanda. We have Marky Hoff.
We have all the faves. I mean, again, so wonderful to have John back.
Yes.
And to have John back in such a meaningful way as, like, a key player in this film.
Movie.
Like, he is the star of the show.
And he's not just in flashbacks.
He's there in present day in this movie that takes place 20 years ago. John and Amanda, great to have them back.
Five.
I mean, I think you guys see where this is going.
I think you're sensing it.
You're catching on to what this is gonna be. But yeah, characters 5 because the baddies are bad. The baddies are good.
Yeah. The baddies that are baddies are real bad.
Yeah.
Love it. 5.
Love it. Living for it. Scare factor. So we're talking scariness, what we think our survivability would be, and creativity of the traps, the kills, etc.
Traps crazy in this one.
I think these are some of the best traps.
Yeah. The bone marrow trap, haunting.
Yeah.
Truly haunting. Mm. And that's technically the first one.
Yeah.
Like, we see the eye one first, but that's like a daydream. That's John fantasizing about what he would do to this custodian. This is the first, like, real life trap that we see, and they're like, we're gonna hit it off with someone suctioning out their bone marrow.
Yeah, they're like, you thought it was bad when he was suctioning out his eyes?
Just wait. Just
suctioning out her bone marrow.
Just wait.
I just slurred my words so bad.
It's fine.
Dear Lord.
Try to say anesthesiologist. I can't.
Anesthesiologist.
Beautiful.
I think that was close.
Stunning.
I think the traps are phenomenal. I think we already discussed. We would perhaps survive a couple of them.
Yeah.
But again, the ones that we aren't surviving, we're really not surviving. And I mean, creative as always.
Yes. Yes.
The way I just pronounced creative.
I liked it. It was, you know what? It was
creative. It was creative. It was
creative.
Creative.
You were adding a flair, and I think it was a choice, and I think it paid off, ultimately.
I'm an artiste. Five.
It's a five.
It's a five.
It's a five.
And also because I feel like the bloodboarding trap, less like I felt like scared during that, but it's like you like feel yeah. I'm like, oh my god, like how is like, Peepaw getting out of this?
Right?
This like, old man and this child, like
they're dying, they're being bloodboarded.
Like that was scary.
That's
scary. Who else here was scared? I know.
I was scared.
Okay, acting. Was it good, was it bad, or was it so bad that it transcended and became good?
It was good.
It was fucking phenomenal.
It was great.
Tobin Bell was acting the house down boots.
I wanted to cry. Looking at him,
yeah.
I wanted
to
cry.
Oh my god, just look. He's so old.
He's so, I was like, please don't do this to us. Please don't make us watch this. And they did, and they got us, and he was so good.
God.
Five.
Because he's so sad at the beginning.
Yes, and then he's so happy.
And then he's so happy.
And then
he's... sad, and then he's angry.
Yeah, and you would like when he's
and
angry.
You would not like Peepaw when he's angry. Yeah, five.
Peepaw's feeling frisky.
Peepaw do be feeling frisky.
Peepaw's feeling frisky.
Yeah, five. Five out of five for acting.
Five.
And then finally, aesthetics. So this can include the quality of special effects, the editing, the sets, the stylistic choices, etc., 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 even.
Etc. Special effects alone, five.
Yeah.
So good. But then, they're bringing back the color filters.
Yes.
That we've come to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really throwing those in your face. They're like blue, yellow, green, yellow again. Now it's back to blue. And that's important.
They're aggressive with the color choices.
Yeah.
Which I think is phenomenal.
We had six. We had sick transitions.
Yep.
We also had like a montage where he's figuring everything out and he's moving quickly and like that's important.
Well,
five.
Saw loves a montage. And you know, like we don't get it at the end, but we get it in that moment. I think
that's
really important.
So good.
Yeah, five out of five.
Five.
So what do we think our overall score for
if you add
Saw
five and five and five and five,
X.
It's gonna be five.
Five out of five Saws.
Five out of five Saws.
I don't think we're surprised by this outcome.
No. And it's very interesting because this is a five out of five and Saw 3D also a five out of five for very different reasons.
I forgot
for
about that.
For very different reasons.
Those are like the two ends of the spectrum.
Who we are.
Of who we are. That's exactly it. Like Saw X is like prestige film.
Yes.
Quite frankly. And then, like, Saw 3D is, like, just, like, perfect campy fun. And, like, together.
That's it. The perfect film.
Spectacular.
Double feature.
We honestly should do a Saw 3D, Saw X double feature. That would be really
so
fun.
Good. Bring him back.
Yeah.
Five out of five.
Five out of five Saws.
Overall.
I think that's such a great way to, like, round out the season. I'm glad that we could end on such a high note.
Moment you've all been waiting for. Our honestly moment.
Honestly,
would you like me to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
Okay, I have two.
Of course you do.
I have two because I couldn't pick and it was very hard to think of them for this movie because it's
tell me about it.
It's a good one. So my first is that if they brought Billy in their luggage...
I finally was like, I have one!
Mine is, if they brought Billy in their luggage, why didn't the police stop them? Because they knew Jigsaw, and they knew Billy was involved in Jigsaw's whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the person carrying Billy on a plane not be stopped by the police?
No, and that's a great question.
That's, honestly, a point that I had.
And that's a great point.
Just saying. And the other one.
How would you say honestly to that?
You're like, honestly? Wait a minute. Actually.
Wait just a minute.
The next one is everyone's age.
They want us to believe that this movie took place between Saw and Saw 2.
Yep.
But everyone has aged 20 years in real life.
Yes.
So, but it's kind of, it's not an honestly derogatory for
no.
me. It's like a, honestly, because I kind of love, like, Saw's commitment to just being like, time doesn't exist.
Yeah.
This is John Kramer. He has a backwards hat. He's young now. And us going, okay.
Yeah, well, he has the backwards cap. Obviously he is. No, it's kind of like when you watch Grease and you're like, I know that these people are 40 years old and they're supposed to be playing 18-year-olds, but, like, I can see past that.
Yeah.
It's just like Grease.
Just like Grease.
That's really what I'm saying.
But, yeah, I love their commitment to just being like, you have to suspend your disbelief. Time does not exist.
And we will. We'll suspend it every time.
Every time. My honestly.
And how would you say honestly to that?
Like, honestly, good for them.
Oh, yeah, you did already say that. Sorry. I'm like, how would you say that? My honestly was going to be the fact that somebody just brought Billy and their carry-on to Mexico City. But if not that, then...
That's different from what I said.
No, but it's like essentially the same thing.
Yeah, mine was more, why weren't they stopped? Yours is, why did they even pack him to begin with?
Well, it's more just like, really, how did they get him through, like, customs and TSA? Maybe he was already there. Already in Mexico?
Maybe he just, like, built him there. Maybe he travels with the things to construct Billy wherever he goes.
Maybe.
Just saying.
Well, and also, who brought Billy? I don't think it was John. No. Maybe it was Amanda.
Maybe Hoffman, like, UPS'd it, FedExed it across the border.
Maybe.
Lots to consider.
Too much to consider. An honestly moment for me would be... Oh! I got one. At the beginning of the film, John's going to get an MRI done.
Right.
For his brain cancer, you know. And then, like, it's, like, the next day, and they have his results. Sorry, what?
That's not how that goes.
Just speaking from personal experience, as somebody who recently had an MRI, let me tell you, I was not getting my results the next day.
No.
So, to that I go, honestly? I know what the American healthcare system is like. I've heard tales. I don't think that's how it works.
No, definitely not. Final thoughts.
I mean, what an excellent film.
It is. Top to bottom. Tip to tate.
Tip to tate, some might even say.
We would.
We've been known to say that.
We have.
I think it's spectacular.
It's so good. I'm excited what the next one will hold for us.
Yes.
Although I have heard that they're running into problems.
What kind of problems?
That Lionsgate keeps trying to, like, interject things.
Oh.
And everyone's like, please just leave him alone to do it. Saw X was so good.
It was so good. I know, like, on one hand, like, of course I want another Saw movie, but I'm also like, this one was kind of perfect.
Yeah, like, don't, if you're making another one, just have it be as good.
Yes.
Or better.
Even. Consider that.
But that's, you know, there's not much to say other than this slapped.
It slapped. We did a whole season. We talked about all 10 movies in the Saw franchise. And this doesn't quite conclude our first season because we do still have another episode coming.
Just a nice little roundup, recap.
But
wrap up.
It's been really fun.
It has been so fun. We did it.
We did it.
Aw, no more Saw movies.
I know, I can't believe. I guess we'll just have to start over from the beginning.
It's the only way. Get out of that dang bathroom.
God, if somebody doesn't save our boy Adam from that bathroom, so help me God.
So help us. So help us. But, you know, that's it.
Well, in the meantime, you can follow along with us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok and Letterboxd at HonestlyPod or Facebook.com/HonestlyPod. You can email us at thehonestlypodcast@gmail.com. And you can visit our website, honestlypod.ca.
Ooh, clean.
So clean. It sounds so unfinished when I say it, because right? I'm like, that's it?
There's still like miles and miles
I know, to go. But that's it. Honestlypod.ca. That's literally all.
It's literally there.
It's right there. Go check it out. We have merchandise for Perchandise, which you can go to our website. There's a link to it there. Or you can go to honestlypod.threadless.com and go check it out. And we perhaps have new things coming.
Maybe
soon-ish. Sometimes we'll see. I don't know. But like, check it out.
Something cute.
Support us. That would mean a lot. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. As a reminder, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podable, Pocket Casts.
Other places? Wherever you're listening to this, there we are.
Wherever you get your podcasts, we're probably there.
And whenever there's one set of footprints in the sand, that's when we were carrying you. Remember that. Remember that. Always remember that.
If you leave us a review on any podcast platform, send us a screenshot of it and we'll send you some limited edition Honestly Pod stickers.
Including season one sticker
while you can.
Hot. Huge pig motif.
Huge pig motif. You're not going to want to miss that. You're going to want that in your sticker collection for sure.
Just saying.
You know, like, Glossier does their seasonal stickers. These are the new Glossier seasonal stickers. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So
get them.
Get them while they're hot.
Is that it?
That's all.
All right.
Bye.
Epic bad luck.